We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Then we're also going to be in Philippians chapter 4. A little different than normal tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the beginning. If you'd mark your place in Philippians chapter 4 to make it easier to get there here in a little bit, that would be very helpful. Glad to be able to preach tonight. Can't wait for the day. Pastor's back here in the pulpit full time, but I'm thankful for the opportunity, and don't take it for granted. Spending a lot of time in prayer on what the Lord would have for us tonight and the other opportunities that I've had. It reminds me of a story of this man that was in the market for a new donkey. He was on Craigslist trying to find the right one for his family. As he was searching, he found one that actually belonged to a pastor. And he called this man, and he got an opportunity to go look at the donkey and test drive it. And as he went to go test drive the donkey, this pastor told him that it was very well trained. And he said, I'm a preacher, so we use biblical terms when we ride this donkey. And if you want it to go, you just say hallelujah. And if you want it to stop, you say amen. And as he was test driving the donkey, he tried the same things. The pastor said hallelujah. The donkey took off. When it was time to stop, he said amen, and it stopped. And this man bought it right there on the spot, took it home, and showed his wife, and went out on a joyride that evening. And as he was out riding the donkey, he was just going for a long time, and he saw off in the distance he was approaching a cliff. And he tried to pull back on the reins and slow it down a little bit, and he was saying, whoa, and he was saying, stop, and all these words. He started to get spiritual and think of the words that he could think of, and he was saying, grace, mercy, and the donkey just was not stopping. And the only thing he could think of left to do was to pray, and he began to call it to the Lord, and he said, Lord, please save my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And the donkey stopped right on the edge of the cliff. And he looked up into the heavens and shouted, hallelujah, and fell to his death. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 tonight. Start reading there in verse 1 together. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Tonight we'll be talking about the pursuit of peace. The pursuit of peace. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. Thank you for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to be in church tonight. And God, I pray, God, that you'd be with each and every one of us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we're laying aside any filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness tonight, God, so we can receive your engrafted word. Lord, I pray that we would be Christians with the desire to receive something from you. God, I pray, Lord, that as, Lord, we're all here together, you'd meet with us, Lord, fill me with your spirit, God, so I can preach with boldness, Lord, what you have for us tonight. And I pray you just do work. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Last fall, my son Peter and I were at the Kroger at Thompson and Arlington, and we got to meet one of the greatest athletes of all time by the name of Joey Chestnut. I don't know if anybody knows who Joey Chestnut is. Is there anybody in here? We got a handful. He is the 12-time hot dog eating champion. Every year at Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Competition, he shows up and he wins. He has the world record. Last year he got the world record at 74, which he had broke from his previous world record. This year he won again with 71 hot dogs eaten in 10 minutes time and won the $10,000 grand prize. Second place only had 50. With that $10,000 prize, he consumes 20,950 calories normally in that hot dog eating championship. I don't think any of us tonight are in danger of consuming that many hot dogs in 10 minutes or a day or a week, but we live in a world where enough is never enough. We live in a world where people are discontent, a world where people are trying to get more and more and trying to get better and better, bigger and bigger, to have more and more wealth, more and more pleasure, all these things they look for, and it just leaves them in a state of dissatisfaction. Struggle to get the latest and newest things, and by doing that, they are discontent and never enjoy true peace. We just read here Ecclesiastes, part of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we see Solomon speaking of his own pursuit of happiness and peace, and the things that he was trying to add to his life and trying to gather for himself, and he came to a place where he realized everything was vanity. He said, I built houses, I had vineyards, I had gardens, I had many pools of water, I had servants and maidens helping me, I had all the cattle more than anyone in the area had, I had all the silver and gold I could ever want, I had singers, I had musicians, I had wives, I had all these things. He said, I was the greatest of anyone around me. He had gone to the furthest limit, had everything he could ever want. And he said, vanity was vanity. And if you look there at verse 17, he says, therefore, I hated life. He looked at everything that he had gathered, everything that he had searched for, everything that he had done for himself. And he got to this point where he realized it's just vanity. There was a lack of peace and happiness in Solomon. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, as he's kind of beginning this book, he said, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. There's nothing substantial to these things. There's nothing here that can make a man happy. It is just vexatious and distressing, is what he said. And he continues to talk, and he says, doing all these things that I did to get all the things that I had, it just made me tired. It made me discontent. I just wanted more, and the more I did, the more tired I got, and life has come and gone as a breath of air. It's vanity. So many people in our world that are searching for peace. Lifetimes being spent and wealth being gathered, things being accumulated, and they're doing that to try to reach happiness, try to reach their own peace. And the more they search for it, the more they realize they need more and more and more, trying to attain that feeling, trying to attain that peace. And we see Solomon tried in all these different areas and never found it in those ways. People are going to all the wrong places. I'm not trying to bring up a sore subject, but I'm even thinking about what happened over this weekend with Andrew Luck retiring. And you hear him talk and about all the feelings that he's had in 4 years of up and down battles with injuries and all these different things, and saying nothing just felt right to him in his mind, in his body. He was just disappointed. He was tired. He's not going to find peace in football. He's not going to find it in an MVP trophy and holding up a Lombardi. He's not going to find it removing himself from football. He's not going to find it in just having more time with his family. It comes from Christ. You think of all the people in this world that are celebrities and the people that you look that have it all, and we just find a mess after mess. See people committing suicide or people in all this legal trouble because of these crazy things they had done, because they're trying to find this inner peace, something that makes them happy. I can think of people in my own family that were trying to just get by in life, trying to find peace in life. I had a cousin at the age of 34 that was too drunk to get off his couch and died in a fire. His mom, just a few months after that, we were at his funeral, then her funeral. A few months later, she died of a drug overdose, trying to find an escape, trying to find peace in their life, and they will not find it in those things. They will not find it in the things of this world. It only comes from Christ. I'm praising the Lord for the sermons that we heard on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Brother Andy talking about the omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence of our God and what he will do for us if we let him, if we make ourselves available for it and we take what the blessings that he's given for us. Sunday night, Rusty preaching on just continuing to search for the will of God and continuing to seek him and how God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, looking for the will of God, wanting more for God in your life. That's where peace is, not looking for ourselves. It doesn't come from things or people. It comes from God. But so many of us are in a similar place to what we find Solomon here, and our happiness and our peace is based on our circumstances. And that is temporary. It'll feel good for a little bit, but we always realize it doesn't last, right? If we go to our other text that we're looking at tonight in Philippians chapter 4, see, Paul wrote the letter to the church of Philippi. Paul was imprisoned. But we still find Paul with joy and with peace. And he was at a point in his life there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, that he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, Paul had something, had a different mindset than Solomon. Paul's peace definitely didn't come from his circumstances. It came from Christ. You know, Paul's circumstances were not the producer of his happiness or peace. It was his relationship with Christ. And in this passage, I just want to go over six things very quickly that I hope will help you tonight in the area of wanting true peace. First thing we find there is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is just be joyful. Be joyful. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You know, Paul here is writing this to the believer. Rejoice in the Lord always. All the time. That word rejoice means to be glad. Go on being glad in the Lord is what Paul is saying here in this verse. What reasons do we have to be joyful? The first thing I can think of tonight is because of salvation. If you're in here tonight and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have much more than you deserve already. And we can look at our life and we can look at where the Word of God says about a person not being able to attain heaven on their own. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death. And we see those verses, we see those truths, we share them with people. But many times we overlook the fact that we have received freedom from those things in Christ. We look in the Word of God and we look in Luke chapter 16 of the story of Lazarus and the rich man and have a description of heaven. Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. And we find the rich man in hell being in torment and asking Abraham to send Lazarus with the tip of his finger in water to cool his tongue. And that would have given him some sort of relief. Hell is a bad place. And if you are saved, you can rejoice in that salvation. If we're saved, we already have much more than we deserve, and we can rejoice in that and that alone. We can rejoice because of salvation. We can also rejoice because we have the Word of God. Amen. Hold your place here in Philippians. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. The Word of God, we receive the wisdom of God. We receive the direction of God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we have a description of wisdom. Bible says, and first of all, in Jeremiah 15, stay there in Proverbs, but in Jeremiah 15 it says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. The word of God should bring joy to our hearts. Look there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. It says that wisdom brings a pleasantness, that wisdom's paths are peace. And happy is every one that retaineth her. You want peace in your life? Get the wisdom of God. You want happiness in your life? Follow the Word of God. Know what it says. Live according to it.
says its price is better than silver, more valuable than rubies. The Word of God is something we should be joyful that we have. In the Word of God, we not only have direction, we not only get wisdom from it, but we can look and find the promises of God. And how God has told us He will never leave us nor forsake us, and how He's given us a clear understanding of what salvation is. We can rejoice because of the Word of God tonight. We can rejoice because of salvation, because of the Word of God. We can also rejoice in trials. We can rejoice in trials. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do not wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." In that great affliction, they had joy. We can look at the story of Acts of Paul and Silas in the Roman jail, and we find them in that Roman prison. They're locked there in that dungeon, and as they were there, they continued to sing praises unto God, and everybody thought they were nuts. And they continued to praise God in those circumstances that they had, because their joy came from God, and they could rejoice in the trials. Paul knew that regardless of the circumstances of life, his God was the same. His God never changed. His God was still there. His God was still powerful. And he trusted him in those times. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. Not just in the good times, not just in the blessings of life, but also in the trials of life. About every day I've thought about 3 weeks ago Sunday. And pastor wasn't in the services with us. I just had his surgery, and a lot of people in the church were hurting and worried and been praying. And that spirit of joy still in the building was something I won't forget. I remember the sensitive hearts of the people in here, and how we, while we were hurting, while we were praying for our pastor, just God meeting with us in that service. And I will not forget that moment. We can still have joy in our trials. We can still have joy when things aren't what we wish they would be, because God is in control. People will change. Your circumstances will change, but God never changes, and we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in our trials. We can also rejoice in witnessing. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." What a privilege it is to be entrusted with the gospel. To know that we when we go with the gospel, when we go with the good news, we are going out, being able to tell others what God has done for us, sharing that with them. What a wonderful thing that is to be able to do it. You think about the first person you led to the Lord. I remember mine very clearly, and I know that it was not because of anything I did. I was a 13-year-old boy, and I remember being able to lead this young lady to the Lord, and I went through the right thing because it was drilled into my head, but it wasn't because of my skill that she was saved. It was because of Jesus. But knowing that I was just a tool of God taking the gospel to someone else brought great joy to me. I love telling good news. I love telling good news so much that people don't normally tell me good news unless it's wide known, because I want to share it with everybody. We have good news that we can share at any time. And because of that, we can be joyful. Be joyful in it. You know, the world can make us happy, but only God can give us joy. If we want peace, be joyful. Second thing tonight, be patient. Look there at verse 5 in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." The word moderation has many different synonyms, words that come from it: forbearance, patience, mildness, reasonableness, gentleness. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your patience be known unto all men. Let your mildness or your reasonableness be made known unto all men. That word also means a gentle or gracious spirit. Because of our flesh, many times we watch out for our flesh. Because of our flesh, we're always on guard, always watching out for self. And there's this great mentality of self-love out there. You got all the selfies, you got social media, you got people trying to put their name out there, people trying to gain followers, gain friends, gain all these things, get pats on the back from everybody. That's what many people are wanting today. But in the day and age that we live in of self-love, we always, many of us look at things that people do or say as a personal attack against us many times. Or they may do something that we may not like or something that may inconvenience us, and it kind of ruffles our feathers a little bit, and we feel like they have just messed everything up for us. And when that happens many times, our reaction is probably not what it should be. The things that we may say to them are probably not what they should be. We wear our feelings on our sleeves, and we are easily hurt by the words and actions of others, and it causes us to react in a way that is not right. We need to be people of moderation. People that are patient with others. People that are reasonable. People that are gentle-spirited. You think of things within the family. There's a lot of things in the home that can irritate you. There's a lot of things that your children may do that in your flesh you may want to just lay into them and rip them apart with your words. And we need to be reasonable in those relationships. Deal with those things in love as God would have you to deal with them. An argument with husband and wife. A lot of times it can really escalate. But if we're going to let our moderation be known unto all men, we need to have a gentle or gracious spirit in those times. May have a problem with a coworker that's a liberal Democrat. They may always try to pick fights with you, may try to do things to get under your skin, may try to say things that are going to upset you. You can deal with that in a gentle and gracious spirit. Not just a gentle and gracious spirit with people, but also with God, a patience. You know, we're prone as humans to, when something isn't how we want it, to move on until it does. When we see something doesn't happen in our life like we wanted it to, we try to take it into our own hands many times, and that's a lack of patience in our walk with God and our trust with God. When those times come, God has told us that we can come to Him. All who are weak and heavy laden, He will give us rest. We need to be patient in our relationship with the Lord and our service to the Lord. If you want to have peace in our life, be joyful, be patient. Third thing tonight, be careless. Be careless. Look there in verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Or don't be anxious about the things of the present life. That does not mean that we are to exercise no care about our responsibilities. Okay? We're supposed to care about our job. We're supposed to be responsible with our property, with our home, with our family. God wants us to do those things, but there needs to be such a trust in God that we are free from anxiety, or such a dependence that it brings His peace and happiness even when things aren't as we want them to be. Don't worry, because God is in control. There was this very nervous man that was going to get on an airplane, and he was facing the terminal when a storm came through, and it was delaying their takeoff time. And during his walk around the terminal, just trying to ease time, he was already nervous. He came across a life insurance machine. And as he looked at that machine, there was $100,000 in the event of untimely death aboard the flight, and it was just $3. And he was looking at that, and he began to look out the window and look at the storm and look at the plane. Then he looked at that $3 and thought of his family. And for that price, he thought it was foolish not to buy the coverage, so he got it. He went to a place to eat after that, and it was a Chinese restaurant there in the terminal. And as he was finishing the meal, he received a fortune cookie and opened it up, and it said, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." That man struggled with fear. It's a command here. It says, be careful for nothing. Stress is condemned. People say, you know, it's okay to worry about 90% of the things I worry about in my life, because 90% of those things that I worry about never happen. It helps them, you know. Be careful for nothing. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We need to let God take the load in our life. We need to let God do the caring on many of those things in our life. We find in the book of Luke chapter 12, look there real quick, Luke chapter 12, verse 6. Luke chapter 12, verse 6, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than five sparrows. You know the old song, his eye is on the sparrow, I know he watches me. We need to have trust in God. We need to not be overwhelmed with the fears of this life or the stress that this life wants to put on us. We need to trust in God. If he cares about the sparrows, he cares for you. If the hairs on your head are numbered, he knows about what you're dealing with. Think about me. It's not many hairs, but it changes about every day. But he knows. If he cares about those things, he cares for you, and we need to let him take those cares. We need to be joyful. We need to be patient. Be careless. Fourth thing, be prayerful. Be prayerful. There in verse 6 of our text, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, pray to God. The Bible says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. We need to be people of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How was your prayer life tonight? You know, you will not have peace in your life. You will not have the joy of the Lord in your life if you're not praying. You're not going to find that happiness, that peace. You're not going to sense the peace of God in your life if you're not a person of prayer, if you don't talk to God as you should. It's funny that many times we feel more peace in the trials than we do in everyday living. Because in those trials, we are in communication with God. In those trials, we are looking to God. We are putting our trust in him because we feel we have no other choice. But in other areas of life, when things aren't as bad, many times we struggle with the peace. Because our prayer life is not what it should be. The book of James says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. How's your prayer life? There's a man named Joseph Scriven that dealt with grief his whole life. He's born in Ireland, and he wanted to be just like his father, be a Royal Marine, but he was too unhealthy as a young man to be part of it. He wasn't able to do what he'd always dreamed he would do. He met a young woman and was engaged to be married, and they were looking forward to the wedding, getting ready for it, and just days before, she drowned and died. There was so much grief in that time, and he just wanted to get away. He moved to Canada, and while he was living in Canada, he became engaged again, and that fiance became ill and died. And as he was facing that grief, he turned to God. He began to serve God in all the ways that he could. And while he was in Canada, he received word that his mother was sick and about to die, and he wasn't able to afford to go to where she was, so he wrote her a poem. And that poem that he wrote says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. No matter what we face, our request should be made known unto God. No matter what we may be dealing with, we need to make our request known unto God. We can take all our cares to him. What an incredible promise, but one that is not taken advantage of much. You know, he's the friend that we can always talk to. When we go through things and we're dealing with trials and we have needs in our life or when we're struggling with something, we many times share them with those closest to us. We share them with our friends, and many times we forget to share them with the greatest friend we could ever have in God. We need to take it to him in prayer. Look at John says, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. For peace, we need to pray. Fifth thing tonight, very quickly, we need to be focused. Be focused. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you want to have peace of God in our hearts, if we want a peace of mind and have true happiness that comes from Him, we need to be focused on what's right. We need to have a right mind. We need to think of what is right and look to the Lord and be people that are in the Word of God. You know, all these words that Paul is mentioning here are things that we find in the Word of God, things that we find by walking in the Spirit. You know, if we're going to have a pure mind, we need to think on those things that are true. Think on those things that are just. Think of those things that are pure. Think of those things that are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. We need to look to the Word of God. We need to walk in the Spirit each and every day. I love the past couple weeks of Sunday school. We've talked about denying the flesh and living in the Spirit. If we're going to be people of a right mind, if we're going to have the peace of God, we must walk in the Spirit of God. And we cannot walk in the Spirit of God if we are thinking on things that are not pure, thinking on things that are not just, that are not right. If we want to have the mind of God, we must walk in the Spirit of God and read His Word. Be focused on what's right. You know, discontentment comes from wrong thinking. Stress comes from wrong thinking. Depression many times comes from wrong thinking. And when we remind ourselves of who God is, what He has done for us, and what we have in Him, and if we think on what is right, we will have that peace that so many look for. Our life is not about us. It's not about what the flesh wants. We're reminded of this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We renew our mind through the Bible, through prayer, by walking in the Spirit. The Bible tells us, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we're not focused on the one who gives us peace, we're not going to have peace in our life. If we're not focused on what is true and what is just, what is lovely, what is pure, what is of good report, if we're not focused on those things, we're not going to have peace in our life. If we want peace, focus on the one who gives peace. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I have one of those minds that is always working. Always thinking. I say about 25% of the things that come to my head. Always thinking. And many times, because I'm always thinking about all the possibilities of my day and what could happen. And if I do this, what is the outcome of that? And there's so much of these things going on that many times I get consumed with things that haven't even happened yet. And in those times, many times, there is this lack of peace because of worry, because of a wrong focus. And I have to remind myself to look to God. Because I'm thinking of all these circumstances and I'm bothered with all these thoughts, I have to look to the Word of God and look to my God and seek help, seek those things that are pure and just and holy. And as I seek those things, then that peace returns. But it comes with right thinking. It comes with focusing on what's right. The last thing he has there for us in verse 9 is to be doers. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. He says, all these things that I've taught you, the example that I've tried to set in loving God and serving Him no matter what, the commands that we've given here that God has inspired me to write to you, all these things that I've challenged you with, do. Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's knowing and doing are two different things. Just because we know the word of God doesn't mean we are doing the word of God. But we must know the word to do the word. We must understand what God's plan is for our life so we can do it. We must understand what is right so we can do it. Misery comes when we are disobedient to the word. The Bible tells us, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. But we can look at that verse and also understand that if we don't do them, there's no happiness in that. There's no peace in that. I love the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We need to be doers. Paul is encouraging these people, hey, I know you're going to face trials. I'm facing a trial now, but you can still have joy. You can still have peace. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be people trying to threaten you. You may want to give in. You may want to stop. Keep going on for the Lord. Those things you've seen in me, do. And the God of peace will help you. Are you a doer? You look back at Solomon's life. We find a man that was really struggling on the inside. He spent tons of time, put tons of effort, tons of work into attaining all of these things and to being as good as he could be on the outside. And he said, it's all vanity, and I hated life. We find here Paul encouraging these people, rejoice, be patient, be careless, be focused, be obedient. He says, do all these things, and he says, and the peace of God shall be with you. You look there in verse 7 when he tells them to pray. It says, let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That word keep there that he's speaking of is the same word that you would use for a garrison or a fort that was going to be built around something to protect it. If you want peace, pray. Have joy. Trust God. Be careless with the things and give them all over to him. We want peace. He's going to protect our peace. He's going to strengthen our peace because it's the peace that only he can give. And as we pray, as we seek his help, as we seek his strength, as we obey his word, we can have that peace in our heart. But it only comes from being focused on him and walking in the Spirit each and every day. Thousands of people every year visit a place called Winchester Mansion. It's in San Jose, California. It belonged to a woman named Sarah Winchester. She built the house from 1884 until her death in 1922. And from 1884 to 1922, there was always a project being built. As she was in the house, she was uncomfortable. She was afraid of things not being perfect and not being as she wanted. And she thought as long as she was building, she would continue to live. She was afraid that if she stopped building, she would have no more purpose in life. And so she continued to build. And around the clock, she had people that she was paying to continue to build her home. There are 10,000 windows in the Winchester Mansion. There are doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls, just so she had something to build. Many of the stuff in the home is extremely pointless, but she spent over $70 million in today's money trying to find peace. And she failed. What are we building in our life? What are we doing each and every day to try to get the peace of God in our hearts? There's only one way to peace. Through Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's Wednesday night. We don't have a musical invitation, but the altar's always open. Solomon looked at his life and he saw vanity. He saw a bunch of work, saw a bunch of effort with no fulfillment, no peace. We have some help from Paul, some encouragement that we find in the book of Philippians on what we can do to have the peace of God. And are you joyful? Are you patient in God and others? Are you worrying too much, or are you giving those cares over to God? Are you praying to God as you should? Are you focused on those things that are true and just and right? Are we obedient and doers of the word of God? True peace only comes from God. Lord, we love you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings, all that you've given us tonight. And I pray, God, that as we're going to be leaving here in just a few moments, God, that you'd work in our hearts. God, I pray that, Lord, as we're just reminded of some things tonight, God, that each and every one of us, Lord, would do what we need to do each and every day, God, to have true peace that only comes from you. And I pray that we would be focused on things of this world and things we could gain for ourselves, as we find with the example of Solomon. But God, that we would be focused on you and what you have for us each and every day. We ask all these things in your name.